If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
This episode is brought to you by ServiceNow, the AI platform for business transformation. AI is only as powerful as the platform it's built into. Enter ServiceNow. It puts AI to work for people, for employees, for developers, and even your customers, removing frustration and supercharging productivity. On our intelligent platform, AI isn't just a promise. It's happening today. That's why the world works with ServiceNow. To learn more, visit servicenow.com/AI for people.
Do you know what I use to record these podcasts? It's Anchor by Spotify. It's the easiest way to make a podcast with everything you need all in one place. Let me explain. Anchor has tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or a computer. It's all really, really easy. It's all really intuitive. When hosting on Anchor, you can distribute your podcast on listening platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and more. It's everything you need to make a podcast.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Inside Indiana Sports Now with Kent Sterling. It's Wednesday, June 2nd, 2021. We're brought to you by the great people at Today's Dentistry. Dr. Mike O'Neill, the best dentist that there is. Make him your dentist. Do it today. Make the call 317-849-2933. Punch subscribe, hit like, ring the bell. Let's talk about sports. Yesterday, we talked about Brad Stevens and how the Celtics season was coming to an end and that there would be changes within the front office and coaching staff of the Celtics. Little did we know that not 24 hours later, we were going to find out that Brad Stevens would no longer be the head coach of the Celtics, but that he was going to be kicked upstairs into Danny Ainge's old office, and Ainge would be retiring as the president of basketball operations for the Celtics. So, Indiana fans felt a little bit okay about that. They said, hey, this guy, yeah, he turned down $10 million a year, 7 years to become the head coach at Indiana, but he turned it down knowing he was going to become the president of basketball operations. He knew it was around the corner. He preferred that job, and who can blame him? There's much less travel. There's no recruiting. This is a cool job where you get paid a whole lot of money to run things. And that is Brad Stevens. His real strength is as the CEO of a program or an organization, which is what he is going to be with Boston Celtics. Good for Brad Stevens. Going to make a lot of money. Not going to be held accountable every single day by the media and fans for what that team is. It's going to be more on an annual basis. The Celtics, they've got enough talent to be able to win. They just need to kind of kick it up a notch and become a slightly different team. They need to have the best player on the floor in order to win playoff series. That's the way it works. They lost to the Nets. Maybe next year they get a little bit better under the direction of Brad Stevens. Who's he going to take his coach on or not? I have no idea, and I got to tell you, I don't really care who the coach of the Celtics is now that it's not Brad Stevens. I only cared that Brad Stevens was the coach of the Celtics because I care about Brad Stevens. He's one of the best people I've ever met, certainly in that business, one of the best people. And speaking of that, one of the best people in college basketball, Mike Krzyzewski, is stepping down as the head coach at Duke basketball after 40 seasons, 40-plus seasons. He's leaving Durham in order to enjoy retirement. He's going to be 75 years old in February, winningest coach in college basketball history. It's going to be a different game without Mike Krzyzewski in it. He has had a profoundly positive impact on college basketball and Duke basketball during his time in Durham. And so he's going to be out. Who's coming in? I think it's going to be somebody within the family. I don't know whether it's going to be John Schreier or Chris Collins or who it's going to be, but it's going to be somebody from that Duke tree, that Mike Krzyzewski tree. And I think we're going to find out sooner rather than later. I think there's going to be an orderly kind of a shifting of that power. Remember what Purdue did, moving from Gene Cady to Matt Painter. I think it's going to be something similar to that with the Duke Blue Devils. Mike Krzyzewski, this is what people don't get about Mike Krzyzewski. He's a basketball coach. People wanted him to be like the U.S. ambassador to college basketball, wanted him to be very senatorial in his behavior. He's not. He's a basketball coach, and he is likely going to go down in history as the best college basketball coach in the history of the sport. Congratulations to Mike Krzyzewski on a career really well served. Indianapolis Colts, we had a chance today to talk to the coordinators. Today, we're going to talk to Matt Eberflus, the defensive coordinator. And what I asked Matt Eberflus first was how the shift in schedule affected the implementation of this defense looking ahead to the 2021 season.
Yeah, so this year and every year, what we do is we look and see what we did well last year, what we're going to carry over to the next year, and then what new things we want to, you know, marinate on and look at and be able to implement into training camp and see if those things are something that our players are good at, okay, and they really fit our scheme. And we've adjusted our scheme since we've been here, and we're going to continue to do that. And I think it's on course, Kent. I really do. I think it's right on course where we want it to be. We got a chance to implement some of those new ideas during these walkthrough OTAs, this kind of new thing that we did this offseason. And the guys picked it up really well, and we're looking forward to getting full speed reps at it and see where it goes from there. But in terms of your question, I say we're right on course where we need to be.
And where is Eberflus with his defense?
When I sat down with Chris Ballard yesterday, and we always do at this time of year, and we talk about what's going to go on during training camp, and we just went through every position, D-line, linebackers, safeties, corners, nickels, and what we saw was competition. And we saw it throughout the whole thing. So we've never had this depth before. They've done a great job of building depth here. And the competition is all the way through the depth chart, which is outstanding. And we're just looking for it to play out. It's just got to play out the way it should play out. And the guys will produce on the field. Those will be the guys that play. And it's an exciting thing because if you look at, for example, the nose tackle. Well, we got Grover Stewart, but we got guys behind those. Who's going to be the backup to Grover Stewart, you know, and potentially, you know, push Grover Stewart? Who's going to be that guy? So that's an example. You know, you got Stolle, you got Woods, you got Chris Williams, you got all these guys right there that are going to push that spot. You know, who's going to be, you know, we know Kenny's our nickel, but who's going to be that next guy that's going to, you know, be behind him? Who's going to be that guy, you know, there's two or three guys at every spot like that. The corners position, that's another thing. You know, hey, competition-wise, you know, we know we got Kenny, we got Zave, but who's going to be the third guy? There's competition there. And to me, competition brings out the best in people and breeds excellence. So, and the guys know that there's no free lunch here. There's everything's based on what the field, what you do on the field. And we are excited about where that is because that's only going to elevate the play of the entire unit is that competition. So we're certainly excited about looking at that during training camp.
Matt Eberflus's defense is really well known for playing through the whistle and gang tackling, getting to the ball, sending everybody to the ball. What is it about that style of defense that players like?
Yeah, I would say that when players come into the system and they understand the standards of which we set, of how to play, I think they appreciate that because, you know, Chris Ballard and the scouting staff, we as a group really look for that on college tape and when we acquire free agents, that do they play hard? And those guys appreciate, you know, when guys play hard and do it the right way. So if we are holding everybody to the same standard, then it's a collective group effort that we're all doing that together. And I think the players appreciate that the coaches, the head coach, the GM, the ownership, all want to see that on tape. And we're all held to that standard together. And it kind of relieves them just to play, go out and play free. And if you ask Darius or Buckner or Kari or all the guys that play super hard for us, that's what they'll tell you. They'll tell you it allows us just to play the game of football.
Does first round draft pick Quiddy Pay fit that style?
Right. So when you look at we look mountains of tape. You know, we watch these guys. We really watch their whole season. We dig into their background. And Quiddy is everything we're looking for in terms of a character of men, of what he brings to the table. And you can see that on his tape. He's just been outstanding so far with us, working with the D-line coaches and everybody else. And some of the things that he's, you know, that you look for, say, okay, well, what makes him so great? You know, what's some of the examples of that? Well, I would say that his attention to detail, You can tell when you ask him questions about a particular defense, he can dive into the detail that he can absorb that in a quick manner and be able to give it back out to us on the practice field. And that's been really a pleasant surprise, not really a surprise, but really just a good thing to notice for him, because he can pick up a big amount of scheme in a short amount of time. And that's going to accelerate his play and accelerate him even faster. So we're excited about that.
How can Eberflus tell when a guy's ready?
Yeah, there's usually some moment. You know, it's not necessarily a moment, but there's moments during the course of early on where you look at this and say, man, this guy is special. Like, for example, I remember with Julian last year, and, you know, he had the knee issue and he was going through all that. And all of a sudden we put him in drills, and I'm standing there next to Alan Williams, and we have him side by side with the corners. And we're doing the break drills and, you know, the movement drills that DBs do. And we were looking at each other like going, oh, my gosh, this guy is as good as a corner. He's moving as quick and as fast as a corner. And we knew right then he had that special quickness, because, you know, you could see that on tape where he had the ball skills and he was a ball hawk type of guy. So when he proved that, and he's going to prove that again. So we just knew it was his quickness right away. And with relative to your question there, Mike, with Kari, what we noticed right away was his instincts, his ability to process and his ability to really move fast to the football. And he's, after watching last year's tape, he's one of our best guys in terms of being able to be in a low zone and be able to break on a ball when it's in the flat or in the curl zone there. So he's special that way. And we noticed that pretty quick about him too.
And how much is Eberflus looking forward to the defensive end competition in camp?
That's obviously bringing those two guys in. That was kind of we had brought a couple guys in, you know, a few years ago, you know, Banigou, Teray. Teray's coming off the injury. Then we bring two more guys in this year. So, again, that's just competition. And the reason we load up on that position is that we, you know, obviously that's a huge impact position for us, for our football team. And it's going to let it play out, you know, and we're going to see where it is. And guys will just produce on the field, and we'll let it go from there.
And is that third cornerback spot an open competition? Does Eberflus see it that way?
I do. I see a lot of spots as open competition, you know, so I really do. I see it as, you know, everybody's got to prove where they need to be. And again, when you go through a season, 17 games, you think about that, you know, I mean, you guys have seen it. You guys have covered this team in NFL for a long time. You know that a lot of guys, you got to have, and you guys have heard me say this since day one, you got to have two guys at a position and a guy behind them. So there's going to be guys that play. Every one of those guys that are up on the roster, they're going to be playing at some point. I mean, they got to show up and they got to play. So we have to get them ready to play. And that's us job as coaches and players together to be able to do that, because, you know, with one injury, there's guys in there that are going to play and rotate in there. So, yeah, I would say that, yes, it is a competition, but we need everybody to get ready to play.
And what does Eberflus expect out of Rock Ya-Sin and Marvell Tell in that competition?
Yeah, so Rock Ya-Sin's done a really good job of being here. You know, he got injured last year, you know, at the end part of the season, and he stayed around and got himself, you know, healthy. And we like where he is. We like where he is. And again, he knows it's open competition, and he knows what he's got to do and how he's got to do it. And, you know, with Marvell Tell, we didn't get a chance to see him, you know, the whole year. But obviously we were in contact with him, and we stayed in touch with him. And we're pleasantly surprised where he is. You know, he's changed his body. He's been doing different things, you know, to work his body in a different way. And he looks really good. And we had him in drills and moving around. So we're excited where he can be as well. So he understands where he's at. And we're excited about where those guys are. And now we just got to see, hey, they got to have a great offseason coming into training camp and be ready to go when we get there.
That's Matt Eberflus. Always really interesting to hear what he has to say. We'll hear from offensive coordinator Marcus Brady tomorrow, what he thinks of Carson Wentz, the implementation of the offense, all that kind of stuff. It'll post by 3:00 tomorrow afternoon. Breakfast with Kent early tomorrow morning, 8:00 straight up on Facebook Live, immediately thereafter on YouTube or wherever you consume this podcast.